Hello, and welcome to The Friendship Quest, a podcast with me, John, and my good friend, Katie, where we'll be answering your questions, and I'll try and finish this in time with music. I don't think I pulled that off quite as well as I wanted to.
You definitely didn't. You definitely did not.
Hello.
Hello. That was a very normal intro.
Yeah, I felt like the last two were a little bit off the wall, so I wanted to bring us down a bit, you know?
I'm not sure I vibed with it.
Oh, I was going to say something weirder, but then I decided against it. I chickened out. So sad.
And you didn't sync up with the music at all, so
no,
really.
So that's going to be a fun one.
Don't know what you've been playing at.
It's hard to hear, because as I'm talking, I can't hear it as well.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I did crank it up really loud for you. It hurt
Thank you. Oh, that's good. I wondered why you were looking pained at me.
Because it really hurt. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome. We haven't recorded one of these in a week or two now. 2 weeks, it must be. We did two in a row.
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah, so it's been a while. Getting back into the swing of things.
It's early.
It's early in the morning because we have conflicting schedules.
We do.
But here we are, dedicated.
Speaking of those conflicting schedules, let's just say it now before we forget. There will not be a podcast next week.
This might be the first time we've ever given pre-warning of that happening.
Because we've worked it out. It's not going to happen.
It's the summer holidays. We're busy people doing busy things.
Mostly John.
Mostly me.
It's his fault.
Enjoying life. Sorry. But I think you can give us a break, even though we've had many before. We deserve a summer holiday break.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here we are.
Here we
are.
And
we're back at it again, ready to answer some of your lovely comments, questions, and things. So what do we have, Katie?
We have some comments from videos that I have been posting to TikTok.
Excellent.
Because I'm really good at my job.
Another boon of the summer holiday.
So, still on the pet peeves episode, which was so long ago.
That's so far away.
These are my parents commenting now.
Oh, mama and papa.
My dad says,
okay,
John and a tray is my new pet peeve. Is he 80?
Is he 80? Oh, that riles me up. That's so sad.
You just got owned.
Trays are just good. It's just more convenient. Old people need them because they need the extra convenience. Why wouldn't you just choose to have it? That's all I'm going to say.
Because I don't want it.
It's just so good.
And then my mum pointed out that my dad pushes the toothpaste from the top, which, mum, I'd already called him out for it in the episode, so don't worry about that.
I think pushing it from the top isn't good either. I'm a middle person. I like the middle.
No! That's somehow worse, I think, because
I just don't think about it. I just squeeze and the toothpaste comes out.
You're creating a gap in the middle.
Yeah, but the tube is designed so that all you have to do is go boop, boop, boop on the bottom and it all comes up to the top.
Yeah, so why would you not just do that the whole time?
Because it's easier just to not think about it.
No, you're talking about convenience with your tray stuff, and then you're not talking about convenience when it comes to toothpaste.
I don't mind you. I don't have a problem with you doing it from wherever you want to do it.
But you have a problem with me not using a tray, so this is the same.
No. You're allowed to not use a tray as well. I'm just saying, I don't know why you wouldn't.
And that's what I'm saying about the toothpaste.
I'm just saying my annoyance is that you are annoyed that I don't do the thing you're doing.
But it's exactly the same. You're a hypocrite.
I'm not a hypocrite. Don't call me that.
You're being hypocritical.
I'm not a hypocrite.
Moving on. This is about fairy tales. Shut up. This is about fairy tales.
Okay.
My mum has mentioned the singing ringing tree.
Okay.
Have you heard about the singing ringing tree?
I saw her comments about it. I didn't look any further. It rings a very faint bell at the back of my mind.
There's a movie. There's a movie. I'm also Googling it. 1957.
Oh, gosh.
Oh my god, it looks horrific! What is that before... bear thing?
Oh no.
Okay, so this princess asks a prince to bring her the singing ringing tree.
Yeah.
He then goes and finds an evil dwarf who will give him the tree.
Yeah.
But if the princess rejects him, the prince will turn into a bear.
Classic fairy tale.
I don't know how we got to that point.
Oh, I like
the tree!
It.
The tree will only sing and ring. Why is it singing and ringing?
I'm imagining it like sing and ring, like an N with an apostrophe. It's like a product you can buy. The sing and ring.
The tree will only sing and ring when the princess falls in love with the prince. Oh, so she doesn't think it's singing and ringing, so she rejects him, and he turns into a bear.
Oh no. The bear tells her that she will regain her beauty only if she changes her ways. Gradually, she is won over by the bear and becomes beautiful again. Oh.
Yeah, thank you for that one, Mum. That was
maybe
a delight.
It's a bit
to
like
read.
Beauty and the Beast, but with more steps.
It's like Beauty and the Beast mixed with Brave.
Yeah. You know what? When you put it like that, it sounds pretty good.
Mixed with a singing ringing tree.
I love the singing ringing tree.
My mum has gone on to state it was a German fable. It was made into a series for TV when she was a child.
Okay.
And it terrified her. It had a talking bear and an evil dwarf.
I like it. It sounds like this is exactly the sort of thing we should have covered. So
yeah.
You know what? Good comment.
Somebody agrees with you, John, that Shrek the Fourth is the third best Shrek movie.
It just is. I'm glad we've established that.
Somebody's mentioned the red shoes, which was inspired by the dancing plague.
Oh.
Do you remember about that? I remember Horrible Histories teaching me about that one.
Yeah, I think I did see that episode.
And I vaguely know about the red shoes, because there's a ballet, I think, about the red shoes.
I mean, they crop up all over the place, don't they?
And they, like, force you to dance or something?
Yeah.
So that's pretty scary.
Pretty scary.
And finally, Pinocchio will always be creepy to me. The puppet and the nose and the whale is just weird.
I suppose I can see that too.
If you're going to point out the things that are weird in Pinocchio, you're not going to point out Pleasure Island.
Oh.
Where they all get turned to donkeys.
Oh, yeah. I haven't thought about Pinocchio in a long time.
A really, really good movie.
Yeah.
But
really
terrifying, awful, yeah. Shocking.
Mm-mm. We do not claim Pinocchio's energy. And we have an email from the lovely Max, who's emailed us a few times before.
Yes.
With his dog, Buzz. And he says, "Hello, John and Katie. It's Max, and I have returned after a long time. So have we. I broke both bones in my arms a few weeks ago. Oh, no. So I haven't been able to email you." That's so
yeah,
sad.
Max commented about this on my TikTok, and I didn't know what to do about it, because I was like, that is so sad.
It's not even like you wanted to and forgot. It's like, no matter how much you wanted to, your arms would just not let you.
Basically can't email us.
That's so sad. Oh, no. I've been rehearsing for my drama group's show, which we performed on Saturday. So I've been rather busy. Sounds
How have
busy.
You been rehearsing for it?
Wow. Well, if you've emailed us now, I'm guessing you've recovered. So I hope that goes all right.
Yeah.
I'm glad you managed to perform in your drama show. Very good.
Yes.
Oh, and he says, "I hope you two are doing well in your new houses." Thank you.
Thank you.
We are. I think. Yeah. It's going well. And Buzz is still very cute, and he has attached an image of his dog Buzz, and I can confirm indeed that Buzz is cute. Thank you very much, Max. That was a very lovely email. And we'll be sure to read out any future emails you or anyone else sends us. So please don't hesitate to contact us at thefriendshipquest@gmail.com.
Wow.
Wow. Well, there we go.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's get going,
Let's
John.
Let's get going. Let's get into the meat of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
That is entitled... Why are books hard?
No, that is not the question.
Why can't we have that as the question?
That's an awful question.
Okay.
Why? That's awful.
Let me rephrase the question. Why is reading so difficult?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Why is it difficult?
Why is it so hard?
It hurts my little brain.
My little eyes can't keep up with my little brain.
Hmm.
Hmm. Well, let's give some background here.
Okay.
We've done some episodes about films and TV and video games, even games in general. So now we're going to talk about books. But, you know, books, it's just not the same. Something's off about books. Something's a little bit different. A little bit special. And funnily enough, in our adult lives, I don't know how it was for you, Katie, but I stopped reading for pleasure for maybe a few years. I mean, I'd go on and off. Sometimes I'd read something. I think part of it was that for my degree, I had to do a lot of reading, or like it was a lot of academic reading. Mm. So when I was thinking, oh, what do I want to do to relax? It was seldom pick up another piece of text. Yeah. But in the end, yeah, I just hadn't read for a long time. And then now that we're in the lovely summer holidays, and especially because I've finished my degree, I was like, oh, I need to read a book. And I did. And I loved it. And I read it very quickly. And I'm very excited to read more. So we're in a strange sort of book post haze of happiness and intrigue about books and reading.
Yes. And I feel like I'm just going to slot in there. We enjoy reading because you made it sound like it was a negative thing to begin with.
No.
That's not what John means. It's a different experience to other media, and I think that's what's interesting about it. It is an enjoyable experience.
We are
not book haters here on the Friendship Quest.
We are book lovers.
But it's a strange one because it seems more time consuming. It's not.
No.
Because, like, I will sit and watch a million different TV series. I'll binge a TV series in a few days. And that's the same amount of time as reading a book.
Exactly.
But I think for me, what made me stop reading, because I had the same sort of experience, was the fact that it is not as easy to do.
Mm.
Because you pick up a book to read, that is all you can do, right? Mm. I can put a TV show on and I can look at my phone at the same time. I can put a TV show on and sort of phase in and out of it and still have a good idea what's going on. A book, you pick that up and you read it, that's it. That is all you're doing because it requires your attention. And for someone like me, that's a hard thing to force myself to do.
Mm. I think it's difficult to force anyone to do. It's just, like you say, it's just not as easy.
Yeah.
In general.
So that, on top of the fact that it does take time, and like you said, you have to read so many things for academic reasons.
Mm.
You're absolutely right. I'm not going to then pick up a book. I don't. And I've said this before. I went to a secondary school that was reasonably pushy.
Yeah.
And one of the things I distinctly remember is in year seven, so this is first year at school, when we used to use the library all the time, we would have library lessons in English where the lesson, we would go to the library and we'd read. Yeah.
We had that too.
But this teacher was like trying to get us to read as quickly as possible.
Oh.
And I'm a slow reader.
Hmm.
I need to hear the words in my head to read them fully. So I read at the speed that you speak.
Yeah.
And that's quite slow because a lot of people just can read. Like my dad can read at the speed of light. He will just race through a book. So in these lessons, I felt very pressured because people were churning through books and I was getting through 10 pages. And so things like that have sort of put me off because I feel a little bit self-conscious about reading now.
I feel like you've just awoken a locked memory for me. Where, yeah, that pressure of like sitting in a library. And for the most part, I was okay. I would just, you know, go on at my own pace reading. But like hearing everyone else turning pages...
Yeah.
Like, it adds an extra level of stress. It's like in an exam when you hear people, like, moving on to questions you haven't got to yet. It's just like, I need to catch up. Oh, yeah, that's not fun.
And that sort of anxiety was just exacerbated in, like, other English lessons, because you would be given a text and you have to read it, and they're like, right, just sit in silence and read the next chapter and then we'll talk about it. And it's like, okay, I've got to get through this chapter before the teacher tells us to stop to talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's incredibly stressful.
That's so much pressure. Yeah. It's a strange one. I mean, I think you hit on two points there, is that one, reading, because reading is academic, when you're, especially in school, when you're being put to it, there's like an over-pushing of it. They don't have to force you to watch TV shows or movies.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
They really, really push it. And if you like, if you tell, especially children, if you tell them to do something, they're just not going to want to do it. Like, you're sort of putting them off books that way, I think. And also, yeah, like you say, everyone enjoys reading at their own pace. And some people that might be very fast might be very slow. And yeah, it's like watching a TV show and forcing you to like fast forward it or whatever.
Mm.
It's just like you'd never do that.
Mm. Mm. So I think that's sort of where my hesitation stems from.
Okay.
But I ask you, John.
Okay.
Why do we do it to ourselves then?
Why do we do what to us? Why do we force ourselves to read?
Yes.
Hmm. I mean, books have something different about them, like we said, that I think, you know, really does appeal, is that when you really get into a book... It doesn't feel like a chore. It doesn't feel like work.
Yeah.
The words just flow and you're in this state of pure focus and, you know, it doesn't become a chore or anything. Yeah, like I said. So that flow state of reading through a book is so enjoyable and so engrossing. And I think a lot of other media try and do it, but they just can't quite get there because it's not as concentration intensive. Maybe video games I can sort of see having something similar, because again, you potentially have to be concentrating on it the whole time. But books have something special. And the thing I love the most is that it's generally one person's writing. It's one person that has produced this text, mostly. Sometimes you get multiple authors and illustrations and stuff. But, you know, it's one person's writing, it's one person's account, and... You know, it's got a simplicity to it that you think, oh, this is so beautiful. How did this person create this? So I can sort of understand a movie having like hundreds and hundreds of people working on different things. But something about a book written by one person, especially if it's like it has a flair of their personal life or something, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I find that very, very engrossing and really, 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 really interesting.
I think one of the biggest... what's the word? I've got one. Okay. One of the biggest assets of reading, there you go, good word.
Good word.
is, like, compared to other media, is it's completely up to you, right? So the pace that you take it at. So TV series, the pacing is set out for you, right?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the authors write the story to flow in a certain way, but you can take breaks from it whenever you want.
Mm.
You can rush through a section, so suddenly that feels like it's gone really quickly, or you can read it really slowly, and then it will drag it out longer. And it's not... The visual aspects of it are completely up to you, right? So it's all to do with imagination. So this author has written the words in a certain way that is going to conjure an image up in your mind, but at the end of the day, it's going to be completely personal to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and it's always interesting when they adapt books and everybody's always like, oh, it's not quite how I pictured it.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, yeah, because they can't cater to the whole population's imagination. But I think that's something that no other media can do in the same way.
And that's a sort of unique skill of the author to, like you say, put the words in a certain way that does conjure such a powerful image. And like, the better, perhaps the better they are at doing that, the more like fantastical the image you can create, depending on the type of book it is, which it's a sort of unique sort of reverence you have for the text when you read it that you don't really get with other things. So I like that.
My favorite thing about reading when I was younger was realizing that I'd stopped seeing the page. Did you ever have that? So like, you're reading and you completely zone out of it because you're just picturing the whole thing in your head, basically like it's a movie. And then you suddenly sort of click back to reality and you're like, I don't even know how I read those words because I didn't even see them.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, that flow state of pure understanding. And I think that's why I said the same thing with video games, because I do get that as well. Like, a lot of people talk about immersion. I'm just going to talk about video games because it's how I know how to talk about these things. But it's the same thing. It's immersion. It's where the screen and the controller fall away, and you are one with what's going on. And the same with the book is, like you say, the pages fall away, the words aren't there. It's simply you and the story happening in front of you. It's pretty cool.
So what was your first book, do you remember, John?
Whoa. Okay. You know what? This brings me on to, I can remember some of my first books. But you just brought back like the idea of, in the same way that school sort of puts pressure on you, it also makes you like, I wasn't a fan of how it made people sort of compete a bit. So I don't know if you had reading levels, but like in primary school, we had reading levels. So like, books were labeled with like a red sticker or like an orange sticker, and like there was a different color for each level. And then you'd eventually get onto like, oh, you're reading at year five level. But you're
no, I don't think we ever
you're
did that.
Really well. So I was always like good at reading above the level I was supposed to be. Like, I finished all the red books. I was like, okay, you can move on to the orange books. It's just like a weird sort of ranked competitive system where you have your children compete onto the levels, which I guess did encourage some reading. But the first book I read might well have been something like The Very Hungry Caterpillar.
Well, yeah, but I mean more like,
I think that might have been my first like book I read of my own volition, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like, I would have picked it up. I'm sure it had been read to me many times, but like picked it up and read it.
Well, I remember lots of like child books, like me and my mum reading together, like The Gruffalo.
Yeah.
I Love You, Blue Kangaroo. Did you have that one?
That
was a staple from my mum. She loves that one. We got that in the attic. And loads of Julia Donaldson books, things like that. But the one I always think of is The Hobbit. I know it's not necessarily a child book, but my mum used to read it to me all the time.
Really?
Yeah, I loved it.
That's great.
And I remember quite young trying to read it, and it was a lot because you have a lot of words in there that aren't real words.
Yeah.
And definitely. It's like, it was too much at the time. But I really wanted to read it because my mum used to read it to me all the time, but I think I had to give up and then she just had to read it to me again. I also remember in primary school, I loved Warrior Cats. Do you ever read Warrior Cats, John?
I've never read a Warrior Cats book.
Oh, so good. Do you know how much I love them?
How much?
Is really sad.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
I'm going to Google Warrior Cats.
I created my own website.
What?
It was a very impressive website, I will say. Okay. It doesn't exist anymore. I created a Warrior Cats fans website.
It's not warriorcats.com.
People know. That's the official website. People used to actually go on it.
Really?
And interact with me. And we used to... Oh, it was so
That's
good.
That's so cool.
It was a little bit cringe, though.
I didn't know this.
But I have all the books. I kind of want to read them again.
You can buy plushies of the Warrior Cats.
Yeah.
On the Warrior Cats website.
It was a big thing, John.
Were they just cats? Or like...
They were cats, but they were like wild cats that like lived in clans. It was like Game of Thrones for cats.
For cats. You can see why that is appealing.
And that was written by a group of authors under one name.
Okay, so I had a similar thing. I'm sorry, I was just imagining the Warrior Cats as like Thundercats. Have you seen Thundercats, the show?
No, again, but I know what they are.
I've never watched it, but yeah, they're like humanoid cats.
No, these are actual cats.
These were literal cats having wars and things. That's pretty cool. Yes. Slightly less cringe, maybe. I don't know.
Don't know, I think it was a bit cringe, but...
That reminds me of Beast Quest. Did you ever read Beast Quest?
No.
Again, it was a lot of authors under one name. Adam Blade, very cool name. It started out as like 6 books, and they were quite appealing. They were quite formulaic, but each one was called... There's like hundreds of them now. I don't know if they're still going, but there are like hundreds. I only read like the first 2 or 3 series, maybe. But like, it was... Each series was 6 books, and each one was named a monster. So there was like... what was the first one called? Let me look it up. But yeah, they were quite formulaic. They had a basic story. And like the hero of the quest just like gained something from each beast, and they came with a collector card for each one. So the first one was Furno, the fire dragon. And then, I don't know, there was Sting, the scorpion man. Kaemon, the gorgon hound. Like, it was just like...
The gorgon hound. Yeah,
Score, the winged stallion. Each one was just like a different thing, and then each series basically just started again, and it was just like... It wasn't that complicated, but they were quite fun. Excellent. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
What's your favourite book?
Oh, back to favourites. Oh, yes. It's so hard. It's so hard. I'm tempted to say something like The Hobbit or The Silmarillion, which is the other... It's quite a fun book. But that's the Lord of the Rings... origin story, I guess, and like a lot of the ancient history, which I find quite interesting.
I know some of mine.
Okay, you go first while I think about it.
So two of my favorite authors are Patrick Ness,
of course,
love Patrick Ness, and Frances Hardinge. So I think my favorite book, well, I'd say my favourite series of books is the Chaos Walking Trilogy, so that's Patrick Ness.
Mm-hmm.
And the first book of that is The Knife of Never Letting Go. I love that book.
I have read
with
that
all my
one.
Heart.
It's a good book.
So good. They just put out a movie with Tom Holland.
Which I have not
it
seen.
It was fine.
You say it's fine, yeah.
Like, it was a good watch. People were very critical of it, and
yeah,
I'm not
that's all
sure
I heard
why.
About it. Yeah.
The ending is just... awful, to be honest.
Was
the
it
ending
just the
was
first
really naff.
Book?
Yeah.
Okay.
They changed some things from the book, but not like an awful lot.
Yeah.
But the ending, it did just stop.
Oh.
Like the movie just was like done.
Done.
I was
now.
Like, oh okay. but it was like, it was a good watch and I enjoyed it, but I would just prefer to read the book. And Patrick Ness is written loads of other books that are really good. One of the books I read recently this week was Release by Patrick Ness. Strange book. I enjoyed it. Not really sure what was going on in it though. Really not sure. And I finished it, but cannot say.
Good stuff.
And then Frances Hardinge writes in a very unique style, I think. In a way that, like, when I was younger, I tried to read Fly by Night. I think that's Frances Hardinge book.
Yeah, that is her first one, I believe.
And I knew I enjoyed it, but I couldn't understand half the things that were going on because the language was too advanced for me.
Yeah.
But I just knew I was enjoying it, but I wasn't sure why because I couldn't understand it. But my favourite book by Frances Hardinge is Verdigris Deep. Terrifying. Really scary. Gave me nightmares. So good. What a great book.
Good stuff.
Highly recommend.
So do you think they play into the same genre, and is that the genre you read, or is your favourite for books? Or are they different?
No, not necessarily. It's strange. I would say Chaos Walking is like dystopian young adult.
That makes me think of things like, not maybe, I don't want to compare it to anything to insult it necessarily, but like it's the same sort of Hunger Games-y, later Harry
and
Potter-y.
And I loved the Hunger Games books. That sort absolutely of stuff. Obsessed with them when I was a child. My brother got me those books.
Ah.
A good decision from him. And then he also got me the Battle Royale.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The book that like the, inspired the Hunger Games, basically. Yeah. It is the same book, and I'm not sure how she got away with it. But Battle Royale is a phenomenal book.
Yeah.
I think it's slightly older, like it's aimed at an older audience.
Yeah, it's a little bit more...
Gruesome.
Gruesome, that's a good word.
But that was a really good book.
Yeah, really good book. Like
so
all
I think
things.
That... I think Chaos Walking feels a little bit more mature than Hunger Games. Hunger Games feels like it feeds into a lot more tropes.
Yeah, I mean, I've never read or... I've seen the first Hunger Games film, and I didn't really get what the hype was about, so I didn't
Oh, I liked the film.
I didn't delve any further. I mean, it was good, it was fine. I just wasn't, like, hooked, so to speak.
It wasn't as good as the book, but it was a good film.
Mm. Fair enough. I quite like Divergent, the films.
I know you do. I don't understand how you can be like, yeah, Hunger Games is all right, but I didn't really get it. And then are like, well, I liked Divergent,
I didn't,
all right.
But I think I liked it because it wasn't as good, if that makes sense. Like, the Divergent films go like, get way wackier, and they're so, like, they take themselves so seriously, and I love
I'm still not sure I ever watched the last one.
You need to.
You know what?
It's great.
I never watched the last Maze Runner.
Oh, okay, that's another one of those. I've never seen
all. Very similar vibe again.
Yeah.
And I got the books, never read them though, and I should because I do think I'd enjoy them. But I just Chaos Walking is sort of a similar genre, but it's just written so differently, in my opinion. It just doesn't. It just doesn't feed into the classic teen narrative.
Yeah.
That other. Similar books do, and I quite like that because I feel like it's not pandering to me, it's not talking down to me, you know.
Well, that's good, that's very important.
But most of the books I read do have like fantasy elements,
yes,
to them.
And I'd say that it goes for me as well. So I've had a think about my books,
okay.
Yeah, generally, so I think I was never as taken by the sort of that genre of teen fiction. I read Harry Potter, liked Harry Potter at the time. But yeah, I never really got into like a lot of people. Yeah, when we were growing up in our early teens, late teens, we're reading like, you know, Hunger Games, Maze Runner. I read Chaos Walking, the first one. And I did see the appeal. And I did enjoy them, but I never got into them. Twilight is like the ultimate, like that's one end of the scale, right?
I really tried because I was joking about it with my friends. I was like, right, I am actually going to try and see if I can read Twilight.
Yeah.
And I gave up instantly. I just could not bring myself to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. But my dad has always been into like a lot of high fantasy stuff. So I think I like would borrow his books and like read a lot of that. So like The Lord of the Rings is where there's the one end of the scale for that. And then I've read a lot of like absurdly thick novels of like fantasy nonsense that are very fun. But yeah, varying levels of good. Philip Pullman is a good author. Maybe one of my favourites. I'd say my favourite author, which is easier to do, is probably Terry Pratchett, who wrote many, many, many Discworld books. That's probably what he's most known for. Sadly, no longer with us, but he's written like over 50, I think, in that series. And they're all like, again, part of this really big world. But the way he writes is very like tongue-in-cheek, and it's very humorous and like... Douglas Adamsy, another one of my favourite authors, who wrote The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, among other things. And I'd say those two are probably my favourite stuff. And they've done some stuff together, I think. Terry Pratchett also wrote Good Omens, with Neil Gaiman, which has become another TV series that we very much enjoyed.
Yep.
I think there's a second series coming out of that as well. I think Neil Gaiman's there, but like obviously there isn't a second book, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But yeah, the way I love those books a lot. They're not necessarily the hardest things to read, but they do throw in a lot of like really cool like fantasy stuff, like Lord of the Ringsy, but they're always like very comical and resolve in a nice way and have good characters and stories and all these things. I think they've made like a few films of them, but never like anything big. They've never been that popular. But yeah,
I feel like I tend to read books that have fantasy elements but are still very much like grounded in the world that we're in, which is why I end up reading quite a lot of like dystopian fiction.
Yeah, because it's right? a bit like a cautionary tale about technology and corporations.
The characters feel more real to me then because like I can relate to them more. So I don't tend to read as much like proper like high fantasy.
This
is a completely separate world, blah 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 things. I'm looking at my books for inspiration.
it's an interesting point because so J.R.R. Tolkien, the writer of Lord of the Rings and all those other ones, because he was one of the first like big high fantasy authors, effectively sort of set the tone for the whole genre.
Yeah.
He always had his works compared to like his time, because he was a soldier in World War II, and you know people were like, oh, this battle between the orcs and the elves, that was clearly like he's sort of saying how war is bad or whatever it was, but he had like had a profound hatred of allegory and like would like in front of his books, like the second edition, he was like, no, it's just supposed to be fantasy elves, don't think about it, which I really enjoyed. And I think that's what I get out of it too, because I enjoy that escapism more. And I can see why I still like dystopian fiction and stuff as well, but I still really enjoy like being able to completely construct a new world, with no reference to the real one, and develop characters in that play out completely differently. And I think, yeah, that's a lot of fun. That's what I enjoy.
So, you, like me, have spontaneously started reading again.
Yes.
What books have you read recently?
I'll talk about one book then. The most recent book I've read was This Green and Pleasant Land, which is
I've heard of that.
It's a very interesting book. It's relatively new. I think it came out only 2 years ago. And I don't know what it's pitched at. I think it was marketed towards like mums in a way. Like it's not it's not teenage fiction at all in the
so
way it's
perfect
been marketed.
For you.
It's about a Muslim man who lives in a sort of Oxfordshire village with like a very routine village life where people are complaining about each other's, you know, bushes overgrowing into other people's gardens, and they have quite trivial issues, and they have this nice community village spirit. And his mother back in Birmingham with the rest of his family passes away, and her last request to him is for him to build a mosque somewhere in this green and pleasant land. And it's interesting because, again, it's not quite the kind of book I'd usually read, because it is much more of an adult sort of book. And it sort of made me realise something, is that... So there's a thing about reading where people who read sometimes come across as a bit snooty or a bit like, you know, it's like reading is like this really intellectual exercise. But actually, it's not necessarily. It doesn't have to be hard to be good. So this is just a book. I think as a child, you always thought like adult books are like, you know, they're too hard, or like you read at your level or whatever. But like this was a really easy book to read, but it was still really well written and, you know, obviously aimed at, like I say, I imagine it should be read by everyone, but the cover and like the way it was marketed, I imagine it was pitched to like middle-aged women. but it was really, really well done anyway. And yeah, so it is, but it wasn't necessarily difficult to read. Like, it wasn't anything, I don't know, it's something that everyone should read, effectively.
Mm. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah, very good book. What about you, Katie? What have you read?
One of the most notable ones I read is called They Both Die at the End.
Oh, yes, I've heard of that.
Which is just about as traumatic as the title suggests. It's by Adam Silvera, I think is how you say his name. And the concept is that they are in this world where there is a company called Deathcast who know what day you are going to die on. And they call you the early hours of that day between midnight and 3 a.m. and tell you that you're going to die.
Oh, dear.
So these two really young boys get the call, and it's about their day and them meeting and what they do with that last day. And it's... I don't know why I read it, to be honest, because it was just... I knew it was going to be upsetting, and it just... It was as upsetting as I predicted, but it was a very, very good book, and they are making it into a TV series. So that will be very interesting to watch, because I was thinking, as I was reading it, I was thinking, this has potential to be adapted into something, and I know it's quite a popular book. And I thought perhaps a movie, and then I saw a TV series, so that'll be something I will be watching. And TikTok seems to already know that I've read this book. Don't quite know how, because it's already sending me through videos about it.
Oh dear.
So how has it done that? I'm not quite sure.
The corporations have all of our information, including our death dates. They're just not telling us in this reality.
Yeah. But that was a very, very good book, but it is really incredibly upsetting.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So just, I would recommend, but be warned.
Be warned. Can we just have like a little clap? Well done, us.
Yay!
We did a read.
Oh. I am proud of myself for reading again. No, it did make me feel intellectual.
Yeah, but that's the problem. That's what I'm saying. We shouldn't be looking down on people for not reading.
And
we shouldn't...
I know.
Yeah.
But it just, there's something about it that makes it feel better than sitting down and watching TV.
Yes.
Something culturally we've created around books.
Yeah, exactly. Which, I think is why people don't read, because it is, like, it's not as easy. So you think it's going to be effort, and then once you're into it...
Yeah.
It's really not. It's really good.
Do you prefer reading paperback or hardback?
I don't have a strong preference, you know?
I do.
I guess paperback.
What?
Because it's easier.
Criminal. What do you mean it's easier?
Like, it's...
How's that easier?
It's, like, more flexible. It fits anywhere. No.
Okay, right. This is my thing with books.
Yeah.
I do not want to bend the spine. It stresses me out.
Oh.
But that makes it very difficult to read the book.
Okay.
Because I can only open it a certain amount before I risk bending the spine. Whereas with hardback books, this is not a concern.
I think this is where we're going to deviate, because... Well, I don't intentionally break the spine. I think there are people that, like, as soon as they get a new book, will go like, and like, snap that spine. But I enjoy the flexibility of paperbacks. And there's something really enjoyable about reading like an old book or a used book, I think.
That's fine.
Yeah.
If the book has already been ruined by somebody else, fine.
Right.
But if it's like a new book, it is my book, I'm not bending the spine. It's not happening.
No, I think... There's something more aesthetic about like a worn book. So all of the books I buy and read will look like they've been read.
I can't.
Something satisfying.
I can't agree. I mean, like, I agree about the fact that like there's something satisfying about like old looking books. So like my copy of The Hobbit looks ancient.
Yeah.
Like it's going to fall apart any second. And I've always really liked that about it. Because it feels like it has history behind it. But with my newer books, where they are clearly newer books, I don't want them to look old because they're new.
Okay, I can see that. I think I would have a different feeling about manga novels. So I have like, to be fair, I don't even know if I have any here. I'm sure I did have some at some point. I want a manga collection is what I want, because I read a lot of manga, but I read it on my phone because you get a subscription. You can get it all. It's way cheaper. But I want to buy like all the manga of like my favorite series. Quite pricey because they're like at least £6 a book, and like, you know, if you're reading something along, there's like 20 books at least or whatever. It's a lot. But I love the art. I love the cover. I don't want them to be ruined. They need to be pristine.
Yeah.
I guess,
well,
like
that's
comic
how
book
I feel
collections
about normal books.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And that makes reading hard too, because I'm like,
you're stressed
sat
about
with this like slightly opened book, tilting my head in strange angles to try and desperately read it.
Hardbacks are just so spenny though. They're so expensive.
I know. I don't have many of them, but I would prefer to have them.
I think that I bought one hardback like that I actually went out and bought because I couldn't wait for the book to be released in paperback, which was, I don't even remember what it was called, but it's the sequel to The Red Pyramid, which is Rick Riordan, who wrote Percy Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
I think Percy Jackson, the Percy Jackson series, which I did read as well.
I should read those books.
Yeah,
I don't know what
it.
I'm playing at. I know I'd enjoy them.
Everyone seemed to love Percy Jackson way more, but he wrote several other series, and one of them was to do with like Egyptian gods rather than Greek gods. And as a kid, I always loved Egypt way more. So I read The Red Pyramid, loved it, and then the second one came out, The Serpent's Throne, potentially. Big silver book with like a hardback cover. I bought that and read it in a day. So I guess it was worth it. I don't know. But then it's like, isn't that strange? The more you enjoy it, the quicker it goes. And it's like,
I know,
spend more money
and then
on
it's
this.
Sad.
It's sad.
I used to have a Kindle.
Ooh. Yeah, I think reading
which
on your
was,
phone isn't a bad shout.
Which was like, I wouldn't read on my phone. It's too
phone
small.
Phone is too small.
Kindle, perfect size.
Yeah.
It's the size of a book. Ideal. And it was great for things like I had the complete works of Shakespeare on there.
Mm.
Now, I'm not going to lug that around with me, am I,
absolutely
as a proper
not
book?
Yeah.
So on a Kindle, ideal. But it just doesn't have the same impact as a book.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about it, but it just doesn't quite feel right.
Yeah, I kind of want to get one for manga. Because like I say, I read manga on my phone, and it's not too bad. But it is like, you know, small.
Mm.
And that's the thing about having physical manga novels. It's like you get to appreciate the art a lot more. It's like very nice to have a physical copy. But then I guess the Kindle would be a bigger version. I don't know if you can get them on Kindle.
Oh, I'm sure you
I'm
could.
Sure you can, yeah.
You could get like everything on there and super cheap as well.
Yeah.
A lot of things were free on there. It was
really
iconic,
yeah,
to be honest.
It is Amazon though. And we did say we were going to boycott
true
Amazon.
Well, I had my Kindle from many, many years ago, and I don't have it anymore, so.
Yeah. Take that,
yeah.
Take that, Jeff.
Yeah.
So read. Pick up a book. It doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be something that makes you better than other people, and it doesn't have to be bad. But if you haven't read a book in a while, this is your sign. We're manifesting the book for you.
Yeah.
And if you liked any of the books we talked about, then you can read those. but yeah, there's so many books out there. Any final thoughts, Katie? Anything you want to impart? Any wisdom?
No.
Just go read. It'll be great. But you don't have to. That's very.
Sometimes. Oh, here we go. I found some wisdom.
Yes.
It just took over me. Okay. Sometimes it is easier to get back into reading by reading something you have read before.
Very true.
So if you are searching for inspiration and you want to get back into reading, but a new book is too intimidating, why not pick up your favourite old classic or something that you've not read in a long time? Read that, then you'll get the love back. Reading, and then you'll be inspired to carry on into new books.
It's a great idea, and it's something I've done before. I think The Hobbit is one of those books for me as well, funnily enough.
Mm.
I feel like I've read it a few times, and each time it's like spurred on more reading. It's good stuff. Good. Well, please let us know what your favourite book is, or what you look for in a book, either on TikTok, at KTHP Theatre, or you can email us at thefriendshipquest@gmail.com. No episode next week. Remember that.
True.
Use the time you would listen to the episode to try and find a book you'd like to read.
Ah, oh, that's such
that's
a good
such
idea.
That's such a good little teaser that I just thought of. Lovely. And then you can tell us all about the book you read next time.
Yes, please do. Please recommend do. Some stuff.
Yeah, recommend us some books.
Because I'm churning through these books.
Yeah, the bookstores are running in fear. Waterstones had to shut because Katie's coming to town. Reading too many books. And don't forget that sticks and stones can break your bones, but throwing a book real hard is like way more painful.
I really wanted to hold it together until you'd finish it.